Oh, our Father in heaven, we do so desperately need you. Father, whether the circumstances of our lives are making us especially aware of them, or whether life is smoother and we can fall into the temptation that we need you, but we also have things under control pretty well too. Father, may we be aware this morning of just how much we need you. But Father, even more, how endless your supply is for us. That everything we need is found and is met in Christ. And so, Father, we exalt you and praise you and glorify you this morning, because you have everything that we need, and you are the one we need. We come to you this morning to hear from you, to equip us, to strengthen us, to build us up in Christ. And so by your Spirit, we acknowledge our need on you, Holy Spirit, to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to hear and to understand and receive your word. We trust you to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. At this time, the children from kindergarten through sixth grade would be dismissed for Children's Church with Mrs. Stapleton. And everyone else, I would invite you to open your Bible if you have one, or on a phone or tablet if you have those as well, to the book of 1 Corinthians. So find Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, then 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where we will start, and we will also be looking this morning at Romans chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. Talking about this issue of being gifted. Last week, as we're talking in the series on being equipped to serve, that we are part of a body. We are part of the body of Christ, and each one of us has a role to play that only we can play. God has uniquely created us and uniquely positioned us to do what only you can do. And so as the different members of the body fulfill their role, the body functions better and better. And so there is this sense of unity, but also this sense of diversity, because we're all unique, we're all different. Paul used in 1 Corinthians 12 the illustration of the body, that not everyone is a hand, and not everyone is a foot, and not everyone is an arm, and not everyone's a pinky toe. But if you take one of those away, then the body does not function at its highest ability. And so there's diversity, but yet no one is greater than another. We all need each other. There's interdependence. There is connection that we need for one another. And so last week we talked about together and the power of together in the body of Christ. Today, the topic of gifted. So when we use the term generally in our culture, gifted, when we use that of a person, we tend to think of someone who possesses extraordinary ability. The dictionary actually defines the term, it's an adjective when we use it in this way, as being gifted, as having exceptional talent or natural ability. When we talk about a person being gifted, we are defining them as someone having exceptional talent or natural ability. Think about it in terms of a student who excels in school. They have a certain IQ, they do well on certain tests, they're put into the what program? The gifted program. Think of LeBron James, a tremendous basketball player. When people talk about him, he's not just a basketball player, he is a what? A gifted basketball player. Dr. Ben Carson, before he served in the White House cabinet, was a surgeon, a neurosurgeon. And there was a book written about him and a movie made about him. Cuba Gooding Jr. Played him. And the name of the movie was Gifted Hands. He wasn't just a surgeon, a neurosurgeon. He was a gifted. He was excelling in his field. World famous celloist Yo-Yo Ma is considered not just a musician, but what? A gifted musician. In every field of life and every where we look, there are those people who are gifted, who go beyond what the norm is. They have exceptional talent, exceptional ability that sets them apart from everyone else. And as human beings, we use this term gifted to describe those who are exceptional in a specific area of ability. But here's what I want us to hear this morning. Every believer in Jesus is gifted. Gifted in extraordinary ways to do beyond what is normal of human beings, to do exceptional things. Because it isn't about us, it's about the spiritual gifting, the supernatural empowerment of the Spirit and the gifts he gives to do what normally human beings would never be able to do. And so I don't know if anyone has ever used the word of you that you were gifted, but I want you to know today that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are gifted. You are exceptionally gifted. Today I want us to look into this topic of gifted so that we would not just know that we might be, but that we would begin to be on the process and on that road of discovering how God has gifted us so that we might play this role in the body of Christ that only you can play, to know how God in his love and his mercy and his foreknowledge has gifted you to do what only you can do for the sake of his glory, for the building of the body of Christ and the expansion of his kingdom here on this earth. Sound good? Okay, here's where we're going. Sermon notes are in your bulletin. I invite you to fill them in as we go. First, as we talk about this, we need to see the Spirit's work in gifting. We begin by needing to see the Spirit's work in gifting. There are three things, and we find them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Let me read those, and then we'll break it down. Paul says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant." And when he's talking about ignorant, is not having the full understanding, the full knowledge about it. "You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Three thoughts on this. First, the Spirit's work in gifting. The first is this: the Spirit enables confession of Christ. This is where we have to step back and see the big picture first, that the Spirit enables the confession of Christ. Understanding the book of 1 Corinthians, this is a very pagan city right now, and the discipleship groups, both on Tuesday morning and on Thursday night, we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. As we're going through Acts, we're taking another side trip in the book of 1 Corinthians. Corinth was a city that was full of idol worship. The goddess Aphrodite was the one that they were worshiping, that they were celebrating, that they were coming to. There was a temple there for her. And so there was this pagan worship that was always going on. And so many of these believers had come out of that lifestyle, had come out of pagan worship, had come out of idolatry, had come out of immoral living and all of these things. And so Paul reminds them of this. When they're talking about spiritual gifting, that when they were pagans, verse 2, somehow or other they were influenced and led astray to these mute idols. Therefore, I tell you, Paul says, no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. He contrasts those who would say Jesus is cursed with those who would confess that Jesus is Lord, and saying that it's not possible without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We cannot confess Christ without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, what Paul is talking about is conversion. He's saying no one can come to Christ, no one can declare that Jesus is Lord if they have not been converted from sin to life, from spiritual death to spiritual life, from worshiping all kinds of other stuff to worshiping Jesus alone. And it is a gracious act of God by the work of the Holy Spirit. There is no reason in talking about spiritual gifts if we don't first understand that it is the Spirit of God that brings salvation to believers. It is the Spirit of God who works in such a way that we are able to say, Jesus is Lord. You didn't wake up one day and decide to declare that Jesus is Lord and that he is Savior. It was a gracious work of God by the Holy Spirit that drew you to himself, awakened you to your need for Christ, showed you and began to open your eyes to the truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that God loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever would turn from our old way and turn to Christ might be saved and have everlasting life. And it is a work of the Spirit of God that stirs that up and draws us and enables us to declare, Jesus is Lord and he's my Lord. That's our starting point. That's Paul's starting point for this topic of spiritual gifting. Without this, spiritual gifting never takes place. Second thought, the Spirit distributes the gifts. Verses 4-6, there's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, different kinds of service, but same Lord, different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all ways. And then verse 11 that we didn't read and want to read, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So we talked about last week, the body of Christ is a unified but diverse body in its makeup. There are different gifts, there are different types of service, there are different workings, but they all come from the same Holy Spirit. They all come from the same Lord. They all come from the same God. There is this amazing unity in the midst of amazing diversity. And we are told in verse 11 that all of these gifts are the working of one Holy Spirit who gives the gifts to each of us as he determines. We don't get to decide, this is what I want. You don't get to decide, I'm a hand, or I'm a foot, or I'm a pinky toe. It's not up to you to decide those things. It is the Spirit of God who determines them and who gifts each person according to how he knows the body needs to be built and made up. Third, the purpose of this is for, verse 7, the common good. It's for the common good. Now, to each one, these manifestations, their gifts of the Spirit is given for the common good. It's not for my good alone. It's for our good. It's for the good of the body together, and it's for the good of the nations. Though we individually will be blessed by it too. Our great temptation is to use the things that God gives us for our own edification, for our own strengthening, for our own building up. But we were not intended to use them for ourselves alone. We were intended to use them for the sake of others. And if we are not using them for the sake of others, for the common good of the whole body, we are missing the purpose for these gifts. It's not just about me and you. It's about us together. And so with these gifts that the Holy Spirit would give, the whole body benefits and the whole body is strengthened because of it. As the Spirit of God is at work in our midst for the health and the building up of this local body for the ministry to those both here and outside of Christ, he will gift and work in each of us. And it will be a beautiful thing as the body is built up and the kingdom is expanded. It's the Spirit's work. Now, I'm probably not unlike any of you in that my family on a number of occasions has had family portraits with the large extended family. How many have been there? It's a miserable experience sometimes, isn't it? Getting everybody in one place and all the preparation that goes up, what are you wearing? And we're wearing this, so you need to wear that. So you got to go outfit the whole family in the same thing. So everybody looks nice in this picture. And then you get there and everybody has their own idea of what this picture should look like. But that's where the photographer comes in. The photographer, their job is not just to snap the photos. Their job is to organize the chaos, to bring order and beauty out of many people together. Their job is to say, you stand here, and you stand here, and you stand here. And then that whole thing of, you need to turn your head this way. And you're thinking, if I turn my head this way, I'm going to look really weird. But they see it, right? To me, I think I should be down there. And they're saying, no, you should be down here. And I think my head should be this way. And they're saying, no, your head needs to be this way. But at the end of the day, you get the photographs however long after it's done, and you look and you realize that photographer really knew what they were doing. Why? From my perspective, I was one person who thought I knew what the whole thing should look like. But they had the perspective of the whole picture. They knew what they were trying to work together to bring about an accomplished end. And brothers and sisters, friends, this is what the Spirit of God does. The Spirit of God is not just worried about what I am going to do. He's worried about what all of us are going to do because he has this vision of what the body of Christ, the Dorseyville Alliance Church, looks like. And he has this vision of what the Dorseyville Alliance Church looks like in the midst of an even bigger picture of all the large C church universal throughout the world to accomplish one gigantic purpose and mission. And he's given us the privilege to be a part of that. And he's gifted you in a way that only you can be gifted to accomplish this thing that he's looking and saying, this is going to be a beautiful masterpiece. And I need you here, and I need you here, and I need you to do this, and I'm giving you this, and I'm giving you that, and I'm in, because I know this is what it's going to look like best to build this body up and for the sake of the nations. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? So may we trust the Spirit of God in what he is giving us. And may we trust him so much that we will begin to identify it under and use it so that his body might be built. It's the Spirit's work. This is the Spirit's work in gifting. Second thought, identify your spiritual gift. There are going to be two ways that we're going to look at this morning when we're talking about gifts, the ways that we are gifted. And so the first, if you would turn back just a few pages to Romans chapter 12. If you're in 1 Corinthians 12, the book immediately before that is Romans, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verses 3 through 8. Paul is the same writer here. He's writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians. He's writing to the Romans in Romans chapter 12. And so he uses the same basic illustration. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the other. Does that sound familiar? It sounds it's the exact same concept that Paul talked about as we looked at last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 of the body. And so he says, verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a person's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. And if it's showing mercy, let him do so cheerfully. Now, on this point, you may disagree with me, and that is perfectly fine. But here is where I've come to. Many people will say that there are 25 spiritual gifts. Some people will say 27 spiritual gifts. Other people will say 31 spiritual gifts. This morning, I want to submit to you that I believe that there are 7 of these spiritual gifts. from which, from this passage that we can understand, of which we operate and serve out of. And my rationale is this. If you're a heady person, you might like this. If you're not, try to follow for a few moments. I won't go really crazy with it. The word for spiritual gift here in Romans chapter 12 is the word charismata. Say that with me. Charismata. Say it one more time. Charismata. You are all now proficient in a Greek word. Your New Testament was written in Greek, and so Greek, that is an English transliteration of the Greek word charismata. It is the only place where this word is used, and it is used in this specific setting taught when Paul talks about the body of Christ and the gifting of the body of Christ. What is interesting about this word charismata is that it is used in a singular way. It is not spiritual gifts, it is spiritual gift. Each one of you is given, Paul says, a spiritual gift, a charismata. It's used singularly also in a couple other places that affirm this understanding, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11, and 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, where Paul says, fan into flame that gift that was given to you through the laying on of hands, one gift. Now, my understanding of why this is a singular gift goes along with this idea that the body can only be one part, right? The hand can only be one hand. The foot can only be one foot. And because I know this makes a lot of people giggle, the pinky toe can only be one pinky toe, right? These are the realities of the body of Christ. And so I believe that Paul's argument is that every single one of us has one spiritual gift that we will exercise and live out of. These spiritual gifts, the one that we receive, is given at conversion, and it remains. It's given at conversion, it remains. These spiritual gifts, whichever of these seven the Lord may gift you with, if you would follow what I'm saying here, if you agree with what I'm saying this morning, and again, don't die on this one, okay? This is where I've come to. Before Christ, no matter how you view it, before Christ, you were spiritually dead. And you were unable to confess that Jesus is Lord. It's where we started at. At salvation, not only were you born again and saved and made alive, but you were spiritually gifted with a gift that is in you forever until you die. God has uniquely gifted you. And that spiritual gifting started, I believe, at conversion. And so out of that one gift, it will remain there, and you will use that for your entire life after conversion. Our job then is to begin to understand what these gifts are. Understand the gifts. And so there's a lot I'm going to throw up on the screen here, but I want you to be able to read it as I'm talking about it. Here are the seven gifts that Paul lays out here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and they can be divided into two groups, speaking gifts and serving gifts. Speaking gifts first. The first one is prophesying. Prophecy and prophesying is declaring God's message to a specific group of people. It's declaring God's message. It will come from and be based off of Scripture, but it's that application, that understanding of this is what it means for this particular group of people of God. It's not giving new meaning to it, but it's that way that you can read a scripture and read it one day and the Lord will speak to you out of it. And it will be fresh and it will be real. It'll be the same meaning, but the application of it for you will be fresh and real. And you might read that same scripture a year or a month or even a day later, and you will read the same thing and it will have the same meaning, but the application for you of what God is saying to you through it will be different. And so prophecy is understanding and taking the word of God and being able to declare that message specifically for that group of people. Teaching is clarifying God's already revealed truth. It's explaining it in a way that is understandable and that even goes into the deeper understandings of it. It's not changing it. You're not coming up with anything secret. It's just a teacher is a person who can dig deep into the meaning of it and explain it and clarify what it means, brings understanding to people for God's already revealed truth. Exhorting and encouraging, whichever translation you have, sometimes it's encouraging, sometimes it's exhorting. It simply means coming alongside and encouraging a person in growth using Scripture as the guide. That is a walking beside, strengthening, encouraging, exhorting. It's coaching them along. It's not allowing them to stay where they're at, but moving them forward. That is the gifting of encouraging or exhorting. Those are the speaking gifts. The serving gifts, obviously serving is one of them. It's showing God's love by meeting practical human needs. Giving is a financial thing of giving financially to help people and to further the kingdom. And I will contend to you that giving is not just for rich people. Giving can be for middle class, poor, it doesn't matter, income level, because it's supernatural, and God will often do things through people in giving that goes way beyond what they are able to do in themselves. Leadership. Leadership is that ability to coordinate the activities of others to advance the kingdom. Last week, we talked about some of those roles in apostleship, those people that blaze the way who are visionary. Oftentimes, they'll have leadership. And lastly, mercy. It's the ability to identify with and comfort those in distress. Friends, may I encourage you to begin to ask the Lord and to identify which one is yours. You may ask, how do I do that? So when I was in high school, my youth pastor gave me this piece of paper, and it had a bunch of questions. Do you ever pray for people and see them get healed? Yes or no? Are you able to read Scripture and understand what it's saying and explain it to other people? Yes or no? Do you find that it is easy for you to help other people when they're in need? Yes or no? And at the end of the time, you were to add up all of these different things, and they gave point values for all this. And at the end of the day, you're supposed to add it up and be able to look at it, and it would tell you, this is your spiritual gift. Now, one pastor had a friend who, and this isn't even one, a spiritual gift, I believe, but took a test like that, or one of those ones that had 31 spiritual gifts, and their spiritual gift was martyrdom. Martyrdom. Now, here's the thing. How would you like to take a test and have it say at the end of the day, your spiritual gift is martyrdom? That'd be a little bit depressing, right? But here's the point. While I think you can use a spiritual gifts test, if the Spirit of God is the giver of spiritual gifts, doesn't it make sense that he would tell you? Let me say that again. If the Spirit of God is the giver of spiritual gifts, doesn't it make sense that he would tell you? Not that you would have to check boxes and that you would have to take a test to find out what it is. If we believe that God speaks, I believe we can ask him. And I believe he will tell us what our gift is. And so let me encourage you to begin, if you haven't already, to ask the Lord, would you help me to understand how the Spirit of God has gifted me? What is the gift that he has given to me so that I might be able to use it and be a part of the body and fulfill the role that only I can fill? And if you have done it before and you've come to that place where you think you know what it is, just ask him again. It would be a great time just to ask, Lord, this is what I think it is. This is where I believe you have gifted me. Would you confirm that to me? If it's not, hey, could you redirect me a little bit? Help me to understand. I believe God knows stuff, and he likes to tell us. So let's ask him. Lastly, another way that the Spirit of God would gift us is by manifestations of the Spirit. And so be open to manifestations of the Spirit. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 12, and this is where we'll wrap up this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. It says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. The word that is used here many times through this passage is phanerosis, which means manifestation. So here's another Greek word to learn. Ready? Everybody say it together. Phanerosis. All right, charismata is a little bit easier. Let's try it again. Phanerosis. Okay, you now have two Greek words, which means manifestation. What does manifestation mean? Manifestation is a public display that makes something theoretical real. Okay? A manifestation is making something theoretical real in a public way. Now, here's a way to illustrate it. Theoretically speaking, if I take a screwdriver and I come over to this outlet and I stick it in the outlet, theoretically speaking, what's going to happen? I'm going to get shocked. Now, a manifestation is taking this screwdriver and not just theoretically doing it, but sticking it in there and everyone's wondering, is he going to do it? No, I'm not going to do it. That would be a manifestation, right? It would be a public display of something theoretical that now became reality. Theoretically, if I stick it in there, I get shocked. The manifestation of it will be me yelping and jumping back in a public display. It is the same way when it comes to a manifestation of the Spirit. Theoretically, we believe the Spirit of, we know that the Spirit of God lives in us. Theoretically, if the Spirit of God comes upon you, he is going to manifest and make the theoretical things listed in this passage potentially become reality. And so when we are in a place where we are living under the control of the Spirit, these theoretical things that he talks about have the potential to become reality in our lives and through our lives. They're manifestations of the Spirit. And I know when I say manifestation, some of you are getting a little like, where's he going with this? But it's a biblical word. And so we need to define it well and understand it well. These manifestations are given as needed, and then they leave. A charismata, the spiritual gift, is given at conversion and it stays with you for all of your days here on this earth. It's given at spiritual birth. But a manifestation of the Spirit is given to you as needed in a ministry setting. And once it is used and done, it leaves. And it is intended to build the body or fulfill the mission. Which means this. Any believer at any time when we're living under the control of the Holy Spirit has the potential to have any one of these be given and used for the building of the body or the fulfillment of the mission of Christ. Any believer can see these happen. But it's only as needed. And so if you're never engaging with others and you're never looking to fulfill your role in the body, will it ever happen? No. If you're never sharing your faith and engaging with lost people to lead them to Christ, will this ever happen? No. Because the only reason you will ever see this happen is if it needs to happen to minister to a person or to lead somebody closer to Jesus. And so we don't seek after these things. And I know that's where some people get hung up on these. We don't seek after them. We put ourselves in a position where we can be used by the Lord, and we trust him that he will give us what we need to be able to accomplish what he's called us to do. And so when they're needed, he will give them to us, and then they will leave. And so let me just walk us through real quickly these manifestations of the Spirit. Here they are. And again, these are small, so let me help you see them. First is a word of wisdom. It's a message for clarification given to a person, or it's divine perspective given. Word of wisdom takes truth and helps a person to have divine wisdom to see things in a way that only God could give clarity for. And it's in a ministry setting to another person. Second one that Paul lists is a word of knowledge. It's information given in a ministry setting to communicate a message. Let me give you an example of this. In 2003, I had just graduated from seminary, and I was beginning in the church we served before. I was 25 years old, and I was terribly scared to death to lead a church at 25 years old when all of the leadership in the church was twice my age. I felt completely overwhelmed. And so in the Alliance, we have a kind of tradition that early on in the first month or so, maybe in the first couple weeks, there's an installation service of that pastor. And in that time, there is a chance for the pastor to be prayed for. And a number of the pastors in that area came and they gathered around along with the district superintendent to pray blessing over that time. And as we were being prayed for, both Steph and I were there being prayed for at the end of the service, installing us, committing us to this work of the ministry that God had called us to, one of the pastors began to whisper in my ear, "You are adequate. You have what it takes." I had met that guy that day, and he had no idea who I was. He had no idea my story. We had not talked at all about how I felt. But yet those were the exact words that I needed to hear, because the words in my mind were, "I am inadequate, I don't have what it takes." And he, by a word of knowledge in a ministry setting, whispered the word of God to me and said, "You are adequate, you have what it takes." And that was transformative for me at the beginning of that ministry. God knew what I needed. That's a word of knowledge. Faith is trust that expresses something, or that expects something to happen. We all have faith, but this is supernatural ability in the midst of a trying situation or in the midst of an overwhelming obstacle that the Spirit of God manifests faith, and you're like, "I don't know why I believe it because everything stands against it, but I just believe it. God's going to do it." It's a manifestation of the Spirit of faith, and it is used to encourage others to believe. Gifts of healing, it's the kind of healing that Jesus performed. We still believe that God heals today. And so in those ministry times when it's needed and God wants to do it, the manifestation of the Spirit is given through a person for healing. Miracles, it's God breaking through natural order to do the supernatural. Prophecy, interestingly enough, is not only a spiritual gift, but can be a manifestation of the Spirit. You may not have the gift of prophecy, spiritual gift of prophecy, but the Spirit of God may manifest a prophetic word through you for the sake of others, if that's what's needed, and there isn't a person with that gift that is there to be able to do it. Discernment of spirits, it's the ability to discern and distinguish between the works of God and Satan. Listen, Scripture can help us to discern, but this is a supernatural ability where the Spirit of God says, "That's not of God." Or if people are saying, "Boy, that miraculous thing, that can't be of God," A person with discernment of spirits may say, no, that is. And so it's a supernatural ability to distinguish between the works of God and Satan. The last two go in a meeting situation, go together. Speaking in tongues is a message for the church given in an unknown language. And in order in a public setting for it to be biblical and right, there will be an interpretation of that tongue in a known language of the message of that tongue. So if someone gives a message in speaking in tongues, it will then be followed in a public way by someone who knows this is what it is saying, this is what it means in English for us. We believe all of these are possible. And so we need to be open to them. And so my encouragement to us today is that we would begin to understand, first, the Spirit of God is the one who does all of this work. But the Spirit has uniquely gifted you with a spiritual gift. And you may believe that there's more than one spiritual gift that he could have given to you that's with you forever. I don't care. Just ask him, what is it? And then be in our places where we trust God to do what we can't do on our own and be open to those manifestations of the Spirit. He will give them as needed, and then it will leave. But God will be glorified, and the body will be built up. Back when I was a kid, I had this toy. Anybody know this? Transformers. These are the Constructicons. I find it amazing that when I was little, these were like the hot thing. And then they kind of died out. And now, you know, they're the hot thing again. Movies being made, all that kind of stuff. Good stuff never dies. But the Constructicons were Decepticons. They were the bad guys in the Transformer story. And all of these guys here, their names, and I had to write them down so you make sure I get them all. Hook is the guy, like the digger guy, scooper guy, bone crusher, mix master, long haul, scrapper, and scavenger. All these guys had their own unique ability. They took on the form of these construction vehicles, and they could individually transform into many people who would be able to fight battles against the good guys. But what made these guys so much more gifted is that they could all connect, and they would make this big guy. Each one of them uniquely gifted can accomplish great things, unfortunately for evil. But when they connected, they can accomplish even greater things. Friends, that's a picture of us. Each one of us are gifted uniquely. But together, we can do even more for the glory of God, for the building of his body, and for the advancement of his kingdom. So let's be about identifying who we are, how God has gifted us, and be open in those places when we step into gifting and we step into ministry, that God may give us even more in those moments where we need it, with those manifestations of the Spirit to accomplish what he wants for his glory and the common good. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.